I'll show you those marvelous, wonderful places in Jerusalem and all around the Promised Land. As I mentioned, Israel is the size of New Jersey, so it's not very large. You can go the length and breadth of that country in no time. And of course, we spend about 10 days there and seeing these wonderful places spoken of in the Word of God. And of course, read the Scripture. We have Bible teaching usually and preaching from the Word of God. Now, this is Tuesday night. That means we only have 3 more nights left. That's how fast the week goes. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I trust you'll be inviting folk. Get on the telephone and invite folk to come, or go knock on some doors and invite folk to come out to the meetings this week. It's been a blessing, and we just praise the Lord for the privilege, and that you're here tonight, and to see you smiling tonight, and that you're rejoicing in our wonderful Savior. I want you to turn tonight to the book of Acts, the 27th chapter. And I've been thinking about this passage of Scripture because here in California and elsewhere, you've been involved in storms. Rain, storms, mudslides, and all that's involved. And I want us to look at this Scripture. In fact, I want us to think tonight what to do in the time of storm. And I'll mention this later after I read the Scripture, but everybody at some time or another is involved in some kind of a storm. And we need to know the answer from the Word of God. And here in this passage of Scripture, I believe we find the answer as we look at the example of the Apostle Paul. Now look at verse number 1. It says, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band." Now here, notice, before I go on, it was determined that the Apostle Paul be on board this boat. It was determined. It was God's will that he be there. Now we drop down to verse number 14. It says, "But not long after, there rose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fail or fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Now, I'm going to look at several other verses in this chapter as I point out several things about the Apostle Paul being involved in a terrible storm. But let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. And what a great privilege to be here. What a great privilege to sing and rejoice in the Lord. What a great privilege to read the Word of God. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll bless these dear folk tonight. Lord, we've come to hear from heaven. And I pray, Lord, as we look into the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts, and Lord, that we'll find some answers to various things that we need to know about. And we'll praise you and love you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It seems like in these last days, there are many, many terrible storms that are taking place in our world. And I think the Word of God speaks of that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now that word perilous simply means dangerous times. It simply means times that are hard to deal with. Situations in life that are hard to deal with. For instance, I was up in a meeting up north here, just north of Sacramento, and in the church there, and there was a teenager in that church that was graduating from high school, and was planning to go to Bible college, had committed and surrendered his life totally to the Lord, and he was working part time at a fast food restaurant. And so he'd get up early in the morning and get on his little motorbike and make his way along an irrigation canal there to the fast food restaurant. And that morning, when he got up and got on that bike and went to work, I mean, he didn't get to work. And finally, the man there at the fast food restaurant called his parents and said, "Where is your son? He's supposed to be here." And they said, "Well, he left at a certain time." And so they got in their car and followed the route in which he would have taken. And they saw the skid marks on the road, and down in the ditch was this motorbike and their son laying beside it dead. And that young couple, I'll never forget them, in that meeting cried out to God, "Why?" They were involved in a terrible storm. Here a teenager, of course, who was living for the Lord, wanted to go to Bible college and wanted to be what God wanted to be, and all of a sudden, like that, was all over. A terrible storm. And surely the answer is not easy as to what to do in that situation. As we traveled further, we were in Reno, Nevada, and a church in Reno, Nevada, and a young girl was walking through a park, a 13-year-old girl, watching through a park, and some individuals caught her and wrestled her, and there in the park, raped her several times. And I thought of a girl going through a terrible storm. I thought of her parents going through a terrible, terrible storm. And then I think today of not just that type of a storm, but financial storms that individuals go through. Storms that involve illness and sickness and so on. My mother was one of those. Our family went through a terrible, terrible storm when my dad left home with another woman, never came back. My mother came down with creeping paralysis, so she could not do one thing for herself, one thing whatsoever. She couldn't feed herself. I mean, she couldn't walk by herself. She couldn't do a thing. We tied a little bell on the arm of a rocking chair that I have in my house. And summer or winter, when we'd go out, we always left the door open. Because when she needed help, she'd ring that bell. She was involved in a terrible, terrible storm in her life. Two brothers of mine were killed, of course, in the war and so on. So it was a terrible, terrible hardship. Now, as I look at this passage, I want you to see the storm that the Apostle Paul was in. Now, the Apostle Paul was a select servant of God. He was in the will of God. But if you look, as we go down the Scripture, in verse number 4 of this passage, "And when we had launched thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary." So there was strong wind as they were in this boat. We go down to verse number 7. "And when we had sailed slowly many days, the wind not suffering us." So once again, the wind was contrary to their voyage. We look at verse number 13, and it says, "And when the south wind blew softly..." So it was blowing hard, then softly, and so on. You look at verse number 14 that I've already read. It talks about that wind that was called Euroclydon. I mean, the power of that wind. I mean, days and nights. That ship, I was just tossed to and fro, up and down, forwards and backwards, in a terrible, terrible storm. Now, here's the Apostle Paul on board that boat. What's he going to do in the midst of that storm? And as I looked at the various steps that have blessed my heart, I looked at the steps of what he did. That's what we need to do. Number one, the first thing we need to do is to make sure we're saved. Make sure we're born again by the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about being members of a church, although that's important after you get saved. I'm not talking about baptism. That's important after you get saved. But I'm talking about really, thoroughly being born again by the Spirit of God. So when that storm comes, you know that you're a child of God. And I see that with the Apostle Paul. Look at verse 23 where it says, "And now I exhort you verse 23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." The Apostle Paul knew who he served, and he knew that he belonged to God. And so I read here, it says, "whose I am." The matter of salvation, the matter of knowing for sure you're standing before a holy God. So when that storm comes, He'll be there with you. My, the thrill and blessing of that. That's the first important thing. And I say it kindly tonight. If you're here and you profess to be saved, professing is not going to do the job. You have to be born again by the Spirit of God, so there's a change in your heart and life, so that when the storm comes, there's not going to be any doubt whatsoever about your salvation. You're going to know for sure you're saved in the midst of that storm or in the midst of life. The second thing I note concerning this boat and the Apostle Paul, the second thing is to get rid of the excess baggage. Get rid of some things. And we look at that. Look at verse number 18. It says, "And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship." You look at verse number 38 in the passage. "And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea." They got rid of some things. They got rid of some things in that boat to lighten it so it would be higher in the water, so the waves would not beat into it. Now listen, what does the Bible say about that? After we're saved and born again, there's times in our life we need to get rid of some excess baggage. Get rid of some things. And I read that in 1 Peter 2, 1 to 3. "Wherefore, lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking." Get rid of some things. Confess some things. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 30, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Get rid of some things. My, that's important. And that's part of revival that I preached on last night, of course, to check on ourselves and allow the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2 says, "Let us lay aside every weight that so easily besets us." Get rid of some baggage. That's what they did. The Apostle Paul's on board this boat. And listen, a terrible storm around. So he made sure he belonged to God and God belonged to him. And then they got rid of, in that boat, some excess baggage. And that's what we need to do. Examine our hearts as to things we're carrying around and holding on to that we need to confess and get it straightened out. The third thing I note about the Apostle Paul, and that is, get alone with God. Get alone with God. Verse number 21, I read this, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss." Now that phrase, "after long abstinence," what do you suppose Paul was doing then? He got alone with God. Got alone with God. Oh, the tremendous truth of that. Mark chapter 4, 37-41. We read there was a great storm of wind and the waves were beating into that boat and it was full. The disciples thought they were going to sink. They said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Don't you care to get along? Don't you care? Oh, listen, there needs to be time we get alone with God. I look back, and I'm not going to go into the detail of it, but some of you might remember our testimony, because I was in Germany witnessing to a quarter million, or preaching to a quarter million servicemen in Germany, and while we were there, we were involved in a terrible, terrible accident. My son-in-law and daughter was there, a little grandson by the name of Benjamin that we'd never met. And we flew over there, of course, to be involved in meetings that were set up for us on those with the military. And it was great. But we had a week free. A week free. And a dear missionary friend of ours had a van, and they said, you take this van, and you can go to the southern part of Germany into Bavaria, which we did. We drove on the Autobahn, where you can go as fast as you want to drive. We got way down south in Bavaria, and way up in the mountains, beautiful, beautiful area, where they have the animals in the basement, of course, and they have in the upper stories where people live. And I was out taking pictures, of course, all that beautiful, beautiful countryside and so on. And then our son-in-law was driving that van, and my wife was in the seat behind the driver, and I was sitting there in the passenger beside the driver, and my daughter and grandson was in that vehicle, and we went down the mountain and into the little city there. As we did, a van came down the street on the wrong side, smashed into our van. Right out through the window of that van went my grandson. My wife, of course, was crushed there with six broken ribs, a broken collarbone, a punctured lung, and all that business. We were raced to the hospital. They didn't have an emergency there. And there in that city where the accident was, raced to the hospital and so on. But oh, listen, finally, they declared the grandson dead. They put the two of us in that ambulance and raced us to Freiburg, southern part of Germany. And now my wife in intensive care, and all the details that we had to go through to pay for that experience. The missionary helped me rent a little pension. I got on my knees beside the bed. I said, Lord, the only reason I'm in Germany is to preach the gospel. And I'm involved in a terrible, terrible storm. And on my knees in the rain, I want to tell you, you get rid of some excess baggage. And that's when God, of course, laid His hand on me concerning serving Him and living for Him. You see, dear friends, storms come. And I made it short. There's a lot more detail to it, how God supplied the need. But when we got on the plane, after my wife had been in the hospital 21 days, and I preached at many other places in Germany as a result of it, when we got on the plane, we bowed and said, thank you, Lord, for the storm. We'll see Benjamin someday. He's in glory. And my daughter and son-in-law were transferred to Lowry in Denver and so on. But, oh, dear friend, I say it kindly, there are storms that you go through. Make sure you're saved. Dear friend, there are storms that you're going to go through. Get rid of excess baggage. There are some storms you're going to go through. Get alone with God. And let God speak to your heart. And I see that so true with the Apostle Paul. After long abstinence with God. The fourth thing I want you to see tonight, realize that God is with us. That God is there. Oh, listen, verse 23, it says, there stood by me this night the angel of God. Why, he was on that boat of people that hated him. Hated him, wanted to get rid of him. But there, he said, there stood by me this night the angel of God. Who do you suppose that angel was? The Lord Jesus was there with him. Oh, listen, that God was there standing with him. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. In the time of storm, whatever, he's there. He's there. Oh, the great thrill of that. And so the Apostle Paul realized that God was with him. And the fifth thing, believe the promises. Believe what God says in the Bible. Now, I see that in verse number 25 of our text. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. He believed what God said. Even though he was in the storm, he trusted God. Even though he was in the storm, he believed in the things that God had told him. Listen, he believed that. Now listen, dear friend, how true it is with us. We need to believe the promises. Stand on the Word of God, the great truth in the Word of God. And in 2 Peter 1 and verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I'll mention just a few of them tonight. Promise of salvation. Eternal salvation. That's a promise. Oh, the promise. The promise of forgiveness. If we confess our sin, if we confess our sin, small or big, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. That's a promise. Cast it as far as the east is from the west. Bear it in the deepest sea. Put it behind His back. And remember it no more. That's a promise. Oh, listen, the promise of peace. The peace. Here's the Apostle Paul on board this boat, and it's about ready to be torn apart, as we'll see here. It's about ready to sink. And yet God's peace was there with him. He knew it was in the right place. The promise of prayer, that you can talk to God. Talk to God. And God's a God that hears and answers prayer. My, that's a great thrill. I think of prayer tonight and simply talking. When my dad left home, I was in those teenage years, and so I so desperately needed somebody to talk to. Here I am, working for an alcoholic, a drunkard, that I pulled out of the vehicle when the thing had rolled over, and all the wickedness of that. I needed somebody to talk to. I went out on the back side of the barn where I was working, built a little 2x4 there, I nailed it too far and made a little chair there, and when I was frustrated, I'd go back to the barn and sit there, and I'd look up to heaven. Many, many times, I suppose I did it and said, I need to have somebody to talk to. I need a dad. I've got a dad, but I don't know where he is. But I read in this book that you're my Heavenly Father. And I began to talk to him on the backside of that barn. And God never once told me to shut up. He always listened to me. And later he gave me the answer. The promise of prayer. Isn't that wonderful? A promise of an inheritance. Of an inheritance. Think about this. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 talks about an inheritance. Now, maybe some of you have been named in an inheritance. My wife's parents died, and they would have given everything they've got to us, but they died without anything. My dad left home. My mother didn't have a thing. In fact, when I was in school, she took the ring off her hand, wedding ring, and said, take it to the jewelry and cash it in, get some money so you can buy some books. Didn't have anything. So I thought about an inheritance. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we get name us an inheritance? Well, I got a letter in the mail from an attorney that an aunt of mine had named me to an inheritance. I don't remember much about that aunt. I don't remember very little of anything about her, but she had named me. And you know how your mind kind of goes wild when you get a letter like that? I began to think, and my wife began to think as well, I mean, she probably had lots of money and we didn't know about it, and so on. Here's the attorney said that we're named an inheritance and we're going to get a check and so on. And weeks and weeks and weeks, I suppose, went by, and months, and so on, with anticipation. We get the mail and tear that envelope open, and so on, when it would come. And finally, I got the envelope. I saw through that window, it was a check. And I raced to my wife and said, honey, we got our inheritance. We got it. We had planned how we were going to spend it and what we were going to give. We had our inheritance. I tore that envelope open to see that great amount I was going to get from my aunt. And when I read the amount, $12.57. Now I have to say the balloon broke a little bit. But I was thankful for $12.57. But oh, listen, I want to tell you something. Oh, we believe the promise of God and the truth of God. We have an inheritance that's eternal in heaven. What a great blessing. What a great blessing. Then the last thing I want you to see concerning the Apostle Paul on board the ship, and that is to give thanks for all things. Verse 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Here he is on board this boat, and all that's going on in that boat just being practically tearing apart, and you'll see that in the remainder of this chapter. But listen, what did he do? He gave thanks in the presence of them all for the goodness of God and the blessing of God. Not bitter. Oh, I know some Christians that have got bitter. No. Don't get bitter. Get better. Some of you have gone through some real deep valleys in your life. I meet people who have gone through some deep valleys financially. I meet people who have gone through deep valleys in marriage. Don't get bitter. Just give thanks to God, and somehow that God's going to work it out for His glory and for your good and for my good. If you're saved, you're in the hollow of His hand. Isn't that a wonderful place to be? In the hollow of His hand. Regardless of what comes now, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the storm, regardless of the heartache, and I reckon that every person here tonight, if you haven't yet, you're going to be involved sometime in a storm. You'll stand beside an accident scene. You'll stand beside a bedside in a hospital. You'll stand beside a body there in a coffin. What are we going to do about it? All these steps are a blessing. Are a blessing. What a tremendous thing. And we look at the Scripture here further concerning what happened now when all this took place. We look here in verse 43. It says, "But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they could swim, could cast themselves first into the sea and get to land." In fact, they were going to kill them all to start with. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it's a thrill. And if you haven't read the book, I don't have that book on the book table, but if you haven't read the book, I mean, we know individuals that went over to this island of Crete and went to this area, and they discovered the anchor of the boat. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it's thrilling. Oh, listen, bless God, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to give praise and honor and glory to Him, regardless of the circumstance, and let God bless you, and let others, of course, see that you're blessed of God in the midst of the storm. The favorite song of my mother, in all the turmoil and heartache she went through, after she got saved, laid aside a baptismal certificate, and received Christ, her favorite song was, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter and I'm the clay." At the age of 45, closed her eyes and went home to glory. I keep in the front of my Bible this little poem, and I suppose it'll be read at my funeral, maybe. But here's what it says. "I know not what the days will bring. Tomorrow waits unknown. But this I know, the changeless Christ, my Lord, is on the throne. I know not where my path may lead, how dark or rough the way, but this I know, with Him I'm safe. He holds, I cannot stay. I know not what my joys may be, what tears may silent fall, but this I know, not fate unkind, but wisdom measures all. I know not, as I voyage forth, what storms will menace dark. But this I know, He calmed the sea, so trustfully I embark. I know not when life's day will close, as twilight darker falls. But this I know, I fear no night. I'll answer when He calls. The blessing of the storm and what to do with it. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Look into your heart tonight. Some of you, dear folk, may be going through a storm. I want to tell you tonight, the Lord's in the boat with you. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will encourage you. And maybe there's some excess baggage you need to get rid of. Maybe the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart tonight about some things you need to take care of. And his heads are bowed. Is there someone here tonight say, yes, I'm in a storm. And God spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me? You'll slip your hand up right now. Anyone like that? I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. Put it back down. I need not know what the storm is. Maybe financially. Maybe physically. Maybe spiritually. But you're in a storm. You'll slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Anyone else? I see that hand. I see it. God bless you. I see those hands. What a thrill to know He's there with us.